Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Pacific Review says of snuff jars and jelly glasses to the Mississippi Born, a memoir by Brenda Haynes Brown. This author is brilliant. The flow of narration and prose is so silky and smooth, almost effortless. Beautiful, passionate, and thought-provoking, yet penned with a sense of humor. Snuff Jars and Jelly Glasses, a memoir, is a creative mix of Southern narrative flowing with contemplative musings, reflective poetry, and amusing anecdotes. By profession, a medical scientist, Brenda Haynes Brown serves as an editorial advisor for medical journals, an award-winning songwriter, previously publishing a book of her poetry. She resides in Germantown, Tennessee, with her husband, Larry. They have a son, Jameson, of Houston, Texas. Snuff Jars and Jelly Glasses to the Mississippi Delta Born, a memoir by Brenda Haynes Brown, our guest on This Week in America. Brenda, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Rick. It's great to be here.
I really enjoyed the book, and it's going to be fascinating to talk about that. To talk about the book, what was the motivation to write this? It was so well done. Is this something that you've been thinking about for years?
It had kind of been nagging at me for several years, and my son had grown up without the experiences that I had had with my family through the rough times. He just only knew good times, and I thought, you know, this kid needs to know what it was really like back there when, you know, with his grandparents, and so it was something I wanted to pass along to him. And then others had encouraged me to write these stories. You need to do it, Brenda, so I did it.
Well, you did it, and you did it well, and it gives us a glimpse not only into who you are, but your life, the Southern life. Talk about that, and I know you've said that's one of the things you really wanted to do is sort of break away these misconceptions we have of people from the South. Talk about that, because that's important to you. You're very proud of who you are and where you're from.
Yes, yes I am, and it disturbs me when I hear people talk about my Mississippi. I said, have you visited? Visit Mississippi, and then maybe you'd be qualified to speak about her, because I personify it. But yes, Mississippi has been a stereotype, like a lot of the South. I think Gone with the Wind gave a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes. And, you know, it wasn't like it was written from history, but it's kind of left its mark. And I'd like to just kind of, you know, tell it how it was. Because you can't believe it like it is until you can understand it like it was. So that's just one of my sayings. So I just kind of want to set the record straight that Mississippi took me from rags to riches. And I'm blessed. And I'm grateful.
Well, and you share that in the book. And it's interesting because you talk about the importance of elders, our ancestors, and understanding them because who they are molded in a great sense who we are. Talk about the importance of that because you really place a lot of importance in looking back and understanding where you came from.
Well, my daddy always said, never go back on your raising. Never think you're too uppity or too good for your relatives. Don't ever get, you know, on your high horse. And so I was just really proud of the raising that I had. And my relatives were very simple people, very simple mindset. And I found that I don't really need all the education you spoke of from the beginning that I had. It's kind of nauseating a little bit. But when I really needed to know something strategic, I would go to the most simple of mindsets in my family or in that area that would just state the obvious to me and simplify it. And so that was important to me. My daddy, three generations of my family were raised on Sunflower Plantation. A lot of people don't know that that is a historical site. And I didn't know it myself, really. I just took it for granted like we all do. You know, we think home is just, we want to forget about it. Let's forget about the past. You know, the past is painful. But I chose to embrace the past because I saw that it was not my enemy. And I began to see that the past is something that I can bring forward into my future and make some kind of sense of my future so that, you know, of my present, so that I can have something to leave as a legacy for the next generation, for my son. And so that's what I got from my elders. They had it. If I was worried about the bomb dropping, turbulent 60s, I knew they had it. Daddy said, If they drop the bomb, we'll just strike up and start out again like we always have. That was just the attitude of my
Yes.
elders. Not to worry about it. You kids, don't worry about it. We got it. And I began to trust them more than my peers. My peers said, don't listen to your old-fashioned grandma, Victoria. What does she know about sex? And I'm telling you, it was startling revelation. She knew a whole lot about it. And there was no question that was taboo. My elders, they had it. And I was the little fly on the wall in the family that wanted it. And it was through intentional observation that I watched them. And I said, who has the wisdom here? My peers who were ending up on drugs and rehab in the 60s, or my grandparents that they've survived things they shouldn't have survived. And I thought, I'm going to listen to them. So they're rarely, if ever, wrong. And I'm here today. I'm alive. I am so grateful for what was put into me from my elders, that they had the guts and the gumption to do what they did and to pass it on. And I want to leave a torch, and the torch is hot. I have to say, it's not something you would just, you know, jump up and down, but you want to pass something on, you know, and say, okay, I've been there. I've done that. I've handled it. I've touched it. I've tasted it. I've felt the heat of that torch. And it's okay. I want you to take it and you go with it. And I want to run a little while with you.
Yeah, and it's made you a better person. And as you read the book, you can't help but think back into your life and where you came from and how, you know, our parents and grandparents survived and thrived without the internet. It's hard to believe that they could do that. And they didn't have cable TV or the internet, and they still made it. And we, you know, they turned out in pretty good shape. The book we're talking about is Snuff Jars and Jelly Glasses to the Mississippi Delta Born, a memoir by Brenda Haynes Brown, our guest on the program. To all of us who one time in our lives have been called dim-witted, you're the savior that we've been looking for. You're saying that's not necessarily bad. Dim-witted is just an expression. Doesn't mean that you're stupid.
No. And I kind of compare a lot of the things in my family with Forrest Gump. You know, there's the prissiness in being a Southerner growing up in my generation. You know, the pantaloons and the lace and all the perfume and stuff. There's that. But there's also parts of Mississippi where there only was just about survival. It wasn't about being prissy. And there, like my grandfather could tell me when to give my son, this is just an example, when to give my son solid food. The doctors were making me cry. He's 4 months old. He needs solid food. He was throwing it up. So I went to Papa. And I said, Papa, back in those days, how did you know when it was time for them to have some solid food? And he said, when they reached for it. And I just thought, you have solved my problem. The child, the baby lets you know. And those were the type of things that I found. Don't ever look at someone in a way that you think they're not useful. You think they don't have something to give or to offer, no matter what their education level. You can be highly intelligent. Maybe didn't get to go to school, but you can still have, you know, a high level of intelligence. And I began to dumb myself down. And Rick, that's not too hard. But I thought, I need to dumb myself down a little bit because I was just up on this pedestal. I know so much. Look at all this education I have. And then I realized, you know, that's not going to help me survive. I need more. I need a lot more than just words on a page. And Mark Twain said, don't let schooling get in the way of your learning. And I had a lot of schooling, but it was getting in the way.
Yes.
And I'd go to my elders and simplify it, and I'd have peace.
People out there are going, boy, she makes sense. Where has she been all my life? I've been thinking that and never said that. Well, Brenda is saying it in her book, Snuff Jars and Jelly Glasses. Brenda Haynes Brown, our guest on the program. Her website, by the way, is brohay books.com. That's on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on, go directly there. Available wherever books are sold. Talk about the title. How did you come up with the title for this? Because it does have special meaning for you, doesn't it?
It does. And I'll just show you. This is a snuff glass. A lot of people would think it's not that pretty, But it's a snuff glass. And when Larry and I got married, we didn't have anything. You know, I was in med school. We didn't have anything. We had $7 in the bank, but I had a whole box of these snuff glasses. And we had two forks from Woolworths, and we had our snuff glasses from Grandma. And those were some of the happiest, simplest time of our life. We were encumbered by all the worldly things that weigh you down.
Yes.
You know, we just, you know, if we broke a glass, we didn't cry. Now I have a glass full of goblets dipped in gold, but I never use them. I never use them because it makes life too cautious. You know, it's like doing cardiac bypass surgery to get a glass out of a cabinet to, yes, and then to clean it and make sure you don't break it. And I thought, no, life was simpler and happier back in those days. And so the grandma would dip the snuff, and it was a dental thing in the 1860s plus. Southern women with their little handkerchiefs, you know, they were so cute with it. You never knew they dipped. And she would send me to the store. Would you go get me some snuff, Brenda? And I'd walk to the store, and then she would put it in her little bitty tins, and then she'd hand me a glass like she was handing me a priceless tiara, because she knew what I was going to do with it. And that linked me to time. That linked me to people. That linked me. Those glasses linked me to something irreplaceable. And I learned that something that is not maybe valuable to someone else, but it can cause good memories in you. I mean, some people may think that Cinderella, you know, is the glass slipper, so wonderful. But to me, Grandma was handing me her snuff glass, and I was her princess. And she would say, princess is as princess does. And in other words, your actions are going to tell me whether you're a princess. And it's not the glass, she said, that determines your class. Because so many women were getting married, and they had the big showers and silver and the goblets. And I had snuff glasses. And Grandma said, Brenda, it ain't the glass that determines your class. So I'm grateful to her for those simple things. She'd lived through, sorrow beyond pale. Yet she was so up and chipper and hip. And I'm grateful for what she carried. She was never bitter. She didn't think she needed liberating. She just said, you treat your husband like a king, he'll treat you like a queen. And I said, how do you do that? She said, you learn how to access the king. And I said, how do you do that, Grandma? And she told me. And she would say, a woman builds her house, or she makes her man, or she finishes him by her own hands. So she taught me that I was influential in my own theater of war. I didn't need to be compared, or there wasn't a battle between the sexes. There's a battle in life, no matter what your sex is. You're going to have a battle. So it was not about, you know, whose battle and who's going to win it. Grandma said, just tell a man every day that he's a good man and he'll become one. She said, give that a try, why don't you? And so I love men. I have a son. I have a husband. And I like men. And so I don't have, I think that's why men are my biggest audience. I support men. And in my family supported women. These were country people. These weren't very highly educated people, but they supported and respected and honored women.
What a remarkable family that you have. With us on the program is Brenda Hayes Brown, the author of the book Snuff Jars and Jelly Glasses. I can't put the book into category. I just want out of drinking out of the snuff jar as we speak. I just have a coffee cup. You've got a much nicer there with the snuff jar. Talk about
crystal too.
With the
I've
book,
got it all.
You've
but,
got a.
But
little,
it's too much trouble. I like the snuff glass.
You've got. If somebody were to say, "Tell me about the book in just a couple of words," you really can't do that, can you? Because you cover so many different topics, and you've got us contemplative at one point and then laughing at the next. This is just sort of what your particular thoughts looking back on your life.
I believe that we turn things around, that the past is not our enemy.
Yes.
But it seems like a ghost that's following us and dragging behind and being like a ball and chain. And so if you embrace your past, you can't erase it. So you may as well face it. So I say face your past. Get rid of those demons of the past because they're probably not as bad. I thought my past was just terrible. But somebody, I'm sure, would have swapped places with me. So I try to bring that into perspective. So it's just not a book about my little silly stories because my family is very unique. They're very funny. And some stories you just can't put in words. It wouldn't be legal. But they're just... That gave me something. I learned to laugh through my pain. And I think that's something, if there is humor in life, I mean, pain in life, humor will help dull it. Like the Mary Poppins, spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down.
Yes.
So try to find the good in it and find out, what can I do? Not the questions. Why? Why did this happen to me? Why did I not have a rich family? Why did I not have a easy life? Why? When I say, let's just ask how. How can I make it work for me? How can I turn it around and get on top of it? And that takes practice. It doesn't happen all night, overnight. But just realize that you're not stuck to the things or the events of the past. Those were just things that happened, not the why or what, but the how. How do I overcome it? And what can I pull from my past and use and then deal with it and let it go? Now, I've counseled young women before, drug addicts, prostitutes, and their past was very painful. But there was always people around, you need to talk about your past. You need to come and speak to us about your past. And they would come to me and I asked, what do you think? And I'd say, no, you don't speak because someone wants you to. It's too hurtful. You know, sometimes some things are too hurtful to talk about, but you wait till the scab falls off. And then you can talk about it, but don't peel the scab off, you know, and wait till it heals. But there's some people that really like the juicy details of what's going on in someone's life. But we don't owe anybody an explanation of our past. And that's what I tell these young ladies. You know, you don't owe anybody an explanation of your past. If you share it with us, we're blessed. But you wait until it's your time and you're ready to share it.
Yes.
Then we'll all be blessed. But yeah, it's... You just don't want it to be a salacious tell-all, you know.
No, I just,
it guts people.
The time is going by so quickly. Something you talk about that I would really love to get the input. You talk about technology, and we've got sort of replacing community and healthy relationships. If you're in a Facebook group, that's not really a healthy relationship, I'm thinking. It doesn't replace what we had with everybody in the neighborhood hanging out, or families and kids that went to school together getting together. Talk about this, the technology overload and the fact that we're losing face-to-face contact. It's difficult for people to talk directly eye-to-eye with somebody.
It really is, and to stand shoulder-to-shoulder.
Yes.
Or to stand side by side and working for a community, a common purpose in a community. And I believe it's okay to go outside and broaden our boundaries as long as we don't lose that sense of community that made us who we were and who we are. And I think technology was meant to enhance, but not to replace communication and relationships. Now, it can enhance, but I don't see how you can really get to know somebody with just a text. I'm fine. You know, how can you build a relationship? But that sense of community, we're losing that. People are becoming, I think, they're scared of being real and they hide behind masks. And I don't want to be a pervert hugging on some plastic doll. I want to hug a real human being. I want to see their eyes. I want to see their gestures. And then I can spot a lie quick.
Yes.
You know, it's very telling. And I think people are afraid to be real, free to be who they really are.
I think that's true. We are told how we're supposed to act. And sometimes I think we're sort of numb as to who we really are and scared to death to be able to let people see who we are or to show real emotion. This has been so much fun, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. Brenda Haynes Brown, our guest, talking about her book, Stuffed Jars and Jelly Glasses to the Mississippi Delta Born, a memoir. Her website is B-R-O-H-A-Y books.com. We'll have that on our website. Books available at Amazon, the usual places, but it's an excellent website that that Brenda has. What are you working on now? You're such a talented writer. That review was so right. This is such a fun read, and it just flows. It's effortless, it seems like, on your part. Working on a follow-up now?
Yes. I've been asked to write about my husband and our love story, which the title is roughly Frightfully Overjoyed, Larry and Me. But people have asked me, would I write about our love story? And so that's on my heart. And then Wounded Healer, I've already written that book, but my husband suggested, why don't you write the story behind the psalm, the story behind the poem? So that's probably the next project, is to get that book redeemed, to bring it back up, to bring it up to snuff. I think it's a whole new meaning to snuff, but to bring it up to snuff. And I'd like to write some children's books, but, you know, those are the two things on my heart.
Well, I hope we have a chance to talk about all of those projects. It's been so much fun, Brenda, having you with us on the program.
It's been great.
Many things to talk about. Not enough time to cover it all. So I tell you what, go buy the book, Snuff Jars and Jelly Glasses. You'll find it at brohaybooks.com, B-R-O-H-A-Y books.com. Amazon, all the places, link onto our website to get the information. Brenda, thank you so much. It was fun. Thank you for being with us, Rick, on the program.
Thank you. It's been great. It's been awesome just to meet with you and to share this with you.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you with us on the program. The book, again, Snuff Jars and Jelly Glasses. You'll find all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.